Blog Talk Radio.
All right, and tuned in to Lewis Den. That was, my usual intro music. It was Dvorak, and it was his Symphony to the New World. Symphony, I can never say that word. Fourth movement. And we have Siegfried with us tonight. Siegfried.
Yeah.
Siegfried.
Hello. Thanks for having me on, Lou. Can you hear me?
Joel.
Hello.
Yes.
Okay, good.
All right, man. So, I had a couple of requests to get you on the show, so I thought I'd bring you on and see what we can talk about.
Sure.
Good. So, anything new with you, or?
No, nothing really. I'm glad my work schedule lined up with all this. You know, the two girls I'm thinking of asking out, they were both closing up shop tonight, so I have nothing to do, so nothing much. We me and the band had a pretty big show yesterday that went pretty well, and that's just about it. I don't know, how about you?
No, this is pretty much it. I had the week off from school, so I was just kind of chilling out all week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, so, what was I going to say? Oh, well. Anything you want to start off with, or?
Well, not necessarily. I haven't been keeping up with the news. Anything you've heard of?
Yeah, it's been a slow week, but Purim's coming up, so
we might have
a Purim surprise.
Oh, God, yeah, it might not be very funny at all, or it could be the funniest thing of all time. Who knows? Who knows with these people?
Yeah, I thought there might be, they might try to make a move against someone, but I don't see anything leading up to that. I don't think they were able to get anything done. I thought they might go after do something in Syria or Hezbollah, but they don't really have the I don't think they have their cards lined up to do that right now.
Right. Yeah. I mean you're saying with Syria, didn't they already fly in and destroy those weapon manufacture buildings or whatever. I mean, didn't that happen like 2-3 weeks ago?
Something like that happened. I forget the details exactly.
Yeah.
Just the one place. I don't know what deal there was. I think that was in Lebanon.
Oh. Well,
there was something in Lebanon too, right?
Yeah.
No, but you'll never know. They'll probably. They might even just make something up. That's what they usually do.
Ugh, God. Yeah. Well, it's just more destruction, more death. They're not afraid of having it on their hands because they know the little consumer whores in the United States especially aren't going to say anything about it. They're not going to talk to their friends about it. They're going to no. They're going to talk about the latest episode of the zombie show. Oh, did you see the new episode of the zombie show? Oh, there were zombies and there was gore and they were eating each other. Like, I mean, really, like, this is all they talk about. This is all that centers in, this is the centers of their attention is like literally like the most gory stuff. And you know, and then like the Eli Roth movies and the what else? I mean, like all the horror movies that, you know, are, I mean, compared to the old horror movies, I mean, it's just like, you know, exploitation of gore. And
yeah,
no,
I like some
it,
of the,
you know?
Yeah, I like some of the old horror movies. Like,
yeah,
they do stuff like they that someone will be killed, but they bash their temple off the side of a, you know, like a dresser or something like that.
Yeah,
and you'd be like, ow! Right?
Yeah,
because someone hit their head like that before, right? But I mean, if you just like take a chainsaw and you're like, and you're just like, oh. There's no tact like all these old mostly Italian movies, right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and like they're well done, and like the original zombie movies were like Dawn of the Dead, right? It was all about how like consumerism is wrong and stuff.
Yeah.
Now it's like, oh, just see the new zombie movie or see the new zombie show, the Matchmark product aimed at. You know.
Yeah, oh my God, exactly. You know, I mean, I wonder what Romero thinks of all this, I mean, honestly. I really would. I mean, is he even alive?
Yeah, I think he is, dude. He put out a couple new ones recently.
Oh, wow.
Like Diary of the Dead and stuff.
Okay.
I mean, I saw Diary of the Dead, but I didn't see the other ones.
Yeah, I saw Dawn, and that was the one with the wall, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that. I saw that movie way later than I probably should have, and, you know, the damage was done already. But, you know, it didn't. It's not that it helped me wake up, it's just like, it was just another perspective of the consumer culture, something I already harbored so much hatred for. And, you know, it was put so eloquently and in such an entertaining way. You know, that's definitely one of my top favorite movies, for sure, yeah. That was yeah. I thought that was a good one.
And it's like gore in here is gory. Like the
yeah,
the new one was had friggin' zombie babies ripped out of people's stomachs and
oh
just,
my God,
it's really disgusting stuff. And these I can't even watch these Saw movies.
Oh, I was just gonna bring up Saw. Yeah, I mean, I, the most deranged, creepiest member of a suite I was living in college. You know, it's like a bunch of rooms it bunched up together into one big room, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the guys, the most deranged of all of them. Oh, and guess who his dad was? A fucking narc. Side note. But anyway, this kid, he was obsessed with Saw movies. He loved them so much. He also played a series of video games put out by Eidos. It's called Hitman, and it's literally like you play as this cloned assassin, and you run around, and you can be as brutal as you want or as crafty as you want, and basically you're playing it as an assassin, so you assassinate people in whatever way you want, but he would always do it most violently, and also he also had a big poster of the Joker, you know, that little wonderful little idol people love to, you know,
Yeah, they put that out there for a reason, just to make people crazy. And how cool it is to be so crazy in office, right?
Exactly. And this guy, the point of the story, this guy was obsessed with all movies. And he's like, oh, this is my favorite. Oh, this is my favorite part. You can't. I was watching the first one. I was like, all right, this is okay. But I mean, at that point, I knew how bad everything was and how desensitized I'd become. So I was like in that process of being like resensitized. And,
yeah, I remember like sitting in a room with a group of friends watching the Saw movies, and there's no emotion on their face as they watch
it. Yeah.
And I was like, I can't even watch it. And you guys are just like, well, what's wrong? It's only bones being torn out of human flesh.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? I gotta get out of here. No, I'm an alcoholic. You people are driving me to drink.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That just summed up college for me. I mean, those people, that one guy alone. The desensitization, being desensitized in today's world, it's very easy, thing to have in someone's life within your personality and your worldview. And it's like, you know, we have people who are just like, so what if the white race isn't going to exist in 5 years or whatever, you know? Like I don't care. I'm not going to be alive. I don't care. I only care about myself and my family. I'm like, well, I don't even know where to begin with these people. I mean, my God. I mean,
yeah,
they have no sense of, I mean, it's one thing for a woman, I mean, to say this, but I mean, it's still bad, I think, but... Like, when I hear these guys saying it, it's like, yo, bro, I'm just partying, bro. I'm just getting real, bro. I'm like, all right, you worthless little piece of trash. I mean,
well,
seriously.
Well, actually, it is kind of troubling that women would be like that more so.
Oh, it
than
is.
That.
Traditionally,
they are actually more or less open to that kind of thing. Even if you look at the statistics, you'll find, like, white men with other races more than white women.
Yes.
And
yes.
Certainly that they are more traditional in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, getting to the conversations, I'm saying, it's just like, I mean, you have no warrior spirit whatsoever. You just have this hedonistic lifestyle, hedonistic outlook, and it's just a very selfish outlook, very nihilistic. It's just like, so destructive in so many ways, and no one ever wants to talk about that even. You know, I mean, the I don't want to call it the party culture, but everyone knows what I'm referring to when I say that. I mean, it's not like people were all, you know, stuffy and boring in like the 50s or something, or even the 20s or 30s, you know.
Feel isn't the proper word though, because they just I don't give a fuck, man. YOLO.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, man, I forgot about that. You know, they would, the college I just went to, they adorn their dorm windows with, post-it notes, and they make pictures and out of the post-it notes. And the common one I see, like, a lot on that one campus alone is, like, the letters YOLO, unbelievable.
Yeah, that's terrible. That's from Drake, by the way, that Jewish rapper.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Oh my, now it all makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, it all makes sense. Wow, Lou.
it's pretty depressing, isn't it?
Very, very.
Yeah, I don't even really talk to many people in my college. I don't have time. Like I'll try to have a conversation. It's like, do you watch any of these 10 movies or TV shows? Like, no. Do you watch the sports game?
No.
Well, what do you think about the Middle East conflict? Oh, it's awesome. I saw that once. It's pretty cool, man. This is one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, or like, I don't know what's worse, people who are totally disconnected, or people who are like, the Daily Show acolytes, and they're like, oh yeah, I know exactly what's going on in the world today. I saw it on Daily Show, and it's just like, I don't talk to many people. Period. People suck. I agree with that, and along with that fact, I would describe myself as like, not completely, but rather reclusive. That's just been my modus operandi forever. I'm introvert, and Anon said.
Yeah, I was kind of an introvert, but I used to be kind of a bar person until I got probation, so now I don't really do anything.
That makes sense, yeah. I barely go to bars. I'll go to bars if someone tells me they're going. I don't know, I don't just walk around, I'm just too jaded. Unless I'm playing a show, I'll go and hang out.
Yeah, I usually go to shows.
Right? Yeah, right?
That's what I usually do. I don't like clubs. I remember one time I walked into a club and there was this, like, playing some, like, Hilary Duff dance remix, and I just walked out the door.
Right. I mean, it's like, I can't even hit on a girl. I mean, it's just like my whole mind is thrown off balance when this jungle music's playing.
Yeah, everyone's is, even if they pretend to like it. That's what it's there for.
Right. Exactly. All right, I'm getting scared now. Kyle's posting movie posters. We got Seth Rogen, who is not Jewish, by the way. Everybody, I'd like to make an announcement. Seth Rogen, the guy who was in the movie with Barbara Streisand recently, and all those movies out of nowhere. Yeah, Seth Rogen, he's not Jewish.
Oh, he's a shining poster boy for Aryan aesthetics.
Exactly. Oh God. Yeah, that Judd Apatow whole camp is just frightening because I didn't see the movie, but my friend he went to go see the movie with his girlfriend or whatever, and he reported back to me that there was a line in the movie where the movie I'm referring to is a recent one, This Is 40 or something. That was Judd Apatow. And the father character, the Jewish father character in the movie said, like, he was talking about the Jew card, as in, like, I'm a Jew, so that's why I get away with it, or something like that. And he's like, oh, that's the thing with the Jew card, it'll never stop working, or something like that. I was just like, oh, I'm not surprised, because Judd Apatow, all the characters are Jewish, so they can't portray them differently, anything other than being, I don't want to say heroic, but innocent and jovial and hilarious and
they're kind of like they kind of portray them not as outwardly heroic but kind of like anti-heroes.
Yeah, because that's what's fashionable now. I mean,
well, not just that, but they can't just have them be outwardly heroic, really, because just because there's a couple different reasons for that. Just because it's not the way they really are, right? But if they see them as these sort of anti-heroes, the brain will accept it more readily, I think.
Yeah. I can't. I actually had something else to bring up. There's a video someone put up on YouTube of an MSNBC broadcast where it's a segment called on the Melissa Harris Perry show. That's Melissa Harris-Perry. That's her name. And I guess this is her show, and they had a segment called Race is Funny. And they were like, oh, white people, they should be like it should be like a funny time because like they're becoming minorities and blah 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 blah, and it was really unbelievable. People ought to check it out. I mean,
yeah, there's a lot of those. They did it on The View too.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah. That's very prevalent. And that's the narrative going out now. That's just to counter everything we're doing. I mean, my God. Not just us, you know, I mean, but it's just distract people, guide the conversation, of course, guide the popular knowledge and make make these people and their words dictum and dogma for the new era, which is the the destroyed America era, where everything is just in decay and the world is just going into more and more wars, but no one even says bunk about it.
Yeah, the melting pot, right?
Yeah, exactly. God. And the worst thing that is just like, I mean, this country is just going to get worse and worse and worse. And these people think they're getting something out of it.
I don't think it can get worse. It's going to get worse. It's going to be, like, they'll want it to get it to a level culturally where the Weimar Republic looks like friggin' Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, right?
But I mean, hey, wait a second. I don't think the Weimar Republic, and now I'm comparing Germany to Germany right here. The Weimar Republic didn't have people marching around saying, we love genocide. It had to be a German. They have, like, banners like that. Seriously, that's how crazy these...
Yeah, they did, but they had all this pro-race mixing stuff and all things like that.
Oh, well, yeah, for sure. For sure, but I mean, it wasn't out in the open and Orwellian as it is today. Am I wrong?
It was close. I mean, they had all these movies. This is where a lot of porn movies started, and this is where a lot of they had pro gay movies and
yeah,
all stuff like this. And the Berlin Underground was just horrid. I mean, it's probably a lot of sex slavery going on. Pretty much, it was pretty much rampant. Like everything and everyone was for sale mantra they attached to it.
And then that really evil guy, he came around and he ruined it all. And they had such a great constitution, and they took away guns. Oh my God!
And they're actually making a TV series about Weimar Republic and how great it was.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't even believe that. I don't believe that. That is too crazy. What?
No, think about how brilliant this would be for them, because they're going to show how loving and tolerant it was, right?
Oh my God. Yeah, the new normal. You know?
Yeah, and how this weird human rights all started and stuff, right?
Right. Oh, man, wow.
I don't remember the name of the show, though, but Kyle might remember if he was at the chat.
Okay.
Yeah.
We taking call tonight?
Calls lines are open. 347-633-9657. If you want to call in, just go right ahead. Did you hear all these things going on at, like, college campuses now? Like, yeah, I have all these Jewesses holding, like, orgasm parties and orgasm seminars in churches. And in Toronto, at University of Toronto, they basically just had a giant student orgy party with a bunch of old swingers.
Jesus.
And, it's the orgy porgies, man. Brave New World.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to start rolling out all this stuff now.
Mm-hmm. And they are, and they have been they had it in the works for a long time, and, I mean, we were just talking about Weimar Republic. I mean, it is an excellent thing to compare to today, and, you know, it's just how the economy was tanking, and the art was just, I mean, not all of it was horrible, but, I mean, it was just deplorable and violent, too. I mean, we were talking about the violent movies, so, I mean, yeah, this is absolutely relevant, if not the most relevant of all historical...
Yeah, and people don't equate how many people starved to death, all the violent crime. There's actually a lot of violent crime there, you can imagine. There's something like a million suicides, maybe more. It's just terrible what they put them through. That's why I don't think they'll let America go as economically bad as they did there. Maybe once white people are 20% of the population or something, they do it. But I don't see them doing that. Plus, they don't really have support anywhere else for all these American Christian Zionists.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to give out the free, you know, free bodyguards. So I don't see them tanking it yet. And it's crazy that, like, there are people they're trying to destroy, and you got these fucking losers propping them up, right?
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah. I mean, just all this stuff is passing us by. Not us, of course, but the majority of the public. My God, I mean, the wars alone, no one ever says anything about it. And as soon as you start talking about it, I mean, this is our money. This is our people's lives being wasted. Not even just the money in our lives. I mean, think about all the lives being affected overseas. And there's so much to talk about just by that. You know, talking about Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, and no one, it just gets so awkward. And no one, I mean, not only because it's like a very serious topic, and it's not, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with zombies, which is itself not a very nice topic. I mean, it's about undead creatures walking around, but oh yeah, that's what we need to talk about. I mean, but anyway.
Yeah, well, actually, they're not talking about the war thing. It's a thing that dates back to at least World War II, probably World War I.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it is World War I, because in America, they had all the ships. Mm-hmm. All the posters saying, loose lips sink ships.
Oh, yeah.
And in Britain, and now they brought this back to this other one. Now, keep calm and carry on. And you see plastered all these different stores and a lot of T-shirts.
Yeah, I probably sold one today. Honestly, I sold a probably poster that said that. The classic one, keep calm and carry on.
Why would you even want that?
I don't know, because they think it looks trendy. Ooh.
So retro and wrong. Cool, man.
Yeah. If you want retro shit, boy, you better get yourself some SS recruiting posters or something.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. If you want a retro, that's the way to go. Because, I mean, they're on the right track. They knew what they were talking about back then.
No, but, they were evil. Racist. Oh, my God. How could you even say that? Like,
oh, man. And I got to say, I'll say this just real quick. I was alone the other night, and, you know, first time I played this old computer game I played for a lot. And on this one, it's a shooter game, and, you know, everyone has their mics on. Because the game is free now, so anyone can play it, and you know, and everyone has a mic because they're running it on a stupid laptop, whatever. But anyway, so everyone has a mic, and I'm just on there, and I don't know how we possibly got to the topic, but you know, when the game is full of like, crazy people, like you could say anything, and they'll just start talking about whatever you said. So I just brought up the Holocaust or whatever. Somehow, I don't know if I did, but the topic came up, and I brought it up. And this one guy with a German, like, screen name was, like, pretty much backing me up. And we were like, yeah, the numbers were fudged. There weren't really 6 million Jews even in Europe. And, like, and this one girl was, like, heartbroken. She was like, guys, oh, my God, stop. You can't even be serious right now. It was just like, you know, it's just these little things you could do.
That's the thing you got to watch out with the women, right, is the Holocaust. They get emotionally attached to it.
Yeah.
And that's how a lot of the propaganda works against women, is emotional.
Yes.
With guys, they'll use, like, logical fallacies and stuff like that, like the old rhetorical technique, right? But with women, they'll put these movies out, they'll make them read Anne Frank's diary in school.
Right.
And so they identify with Anne Frank.
Exactly.
And then they will put, there's like boy in the striped pajamas, and every watches that is going to cry.
Oh, my girl was one of them, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really sick. It really pisses me off that these friggin' goblins would do this to our women, right?
Absolutely. And that's just one thing. I mean, that's a small thing, but it affects so much. I mean, now not only are they upgraded to the status of untouchable minority, that is totally innocent and, you know, has been had so many transgressions upon it and blah blah blah. Like, and, I mean, now it's like everything they push out in the schools, on the TV, in the news media, in politics, is all okay, and it's not subject to more scrutiny than otherwise, which we would contend, correct?
Right.
I mean, they don't think twice about it. Just say, oh yeah, yeah, he's Jewish. That's his ethnicity. Oh, okay. I mean, it's just like the way we approach is rather differently, and you know, it's not a new thing at all. It's just that things have gotten so out in the open. It's like, how could I not go on in a show?
I feel like
I would be doing literally nothing. I could be making thousands and thousands of dollars, and not doing the show. I wouldn't feel fulfilled whatsoever. I mean, seriously. I mean, this is too crazy of a time to be sitting idle.
Yeah, if I was doing the show, I'd probably go crazy. Like, I'd get an outlet, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And but yeah, that's like really important thing they did, because like if you look at Germany, like most of Hitler's voters, or the larger portion of his voters, were women. And this is like women are nurturing, right? Not warriors, but they're nurturing. Like men are the sword, right? And women are the shield maiden, right?
Yes.
So I mean, it's really important that they screwed that up in the way that they did. So they know what they're doing there.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, and they know what they're doing here. I mean, this place is so entrenched in it. All.
Yeah, look at the your textbook liberal. He's like the anti warrior, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, and I was thinking about this today. I mean, what use are you as a male if you're not going to be? And I'm being very serious here. This is really what I think. Really, what use are you if you're not standing up at least for your own country? I mean, my God, if you're not part, if you're like, you know, three different races and you're like, I don't care about, you know, race or ethnicity. I mean, that I can understand, I guess. Whatever. The point is, like, you should have some sort of ideal or some sort of sense of goodness that you want to defend. And clearly this world is not working in a good way. So then what the hell are you doing hailing these monsters like Trotsky and Lenin, and you think you know everything, you figured everything out, it's a capitalist. Oh, capitalist. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but we got
a white,
like,
capitalist.
Every time we see someone with that, like, Communist Party shirt where it has them all, like, dancing around.
Right, yeah.
We should just knock them out, man. That's how it's got to start.
It's such a dark kind of joke, because, I mean, those people were all, combine all their kills, you know, I mean, their death toll combined. I mean, really.
Oh, they're the worst murders in human history.
Exactly. And you know, I point that out to people, and I mean, most of the people I talk to don't give shits about, you know, politics at all, or, you know, but when I get into conversations with, like, liberals, who, you know, like, oh, I've read the manifesto, and it's, like, the great book, and, you know, these fucking people, especially in the first college I went to, which was, like, extremely liberal, it was just, I was just like, you know, these people are, you know, butchers, right? I mean, they went out of their way, and not only that, but, you know, sometimes I bring up the fact that they, you know, made anti-Semitism literally illegal, and, you know, if they're conservatives, and they don't give anything, they don't care about communism, they don't care about the death it has brought, I'll bring, you know how, like, people went to lengths to baptize their kids, which I don't think, you know, ever. But, I mean, the point is, like, you know, what kind of government, you know, says it's out to help the workers, meanwhile the workers have to fear being arrested for sprinkling water on their babies? I mean, really.
Now, if he even said, like, I don't like Jews, he shot in the face. Right? It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. Well, I mean, these people are so ridiculous in so many ways, and they don't think about what's going on in the world at all. I mean, they don't know. They don't want to know. They're willfully ignorant. That's it. It really is. I mean, they have want to learn, and they don't want to. You know, they want to be fixated on whatever it is. I mean.
Yeah, I feel like the communists killed 200 million people, right? Or 100 million people, whatever it was, right? And you'd be like, so what, man? I was like, well, did you hear Bob got killed on The Walking Dead? It's like, no!
Yeah! Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God, you just... Wow. You summed up. I mean, the priorities that we have as a culturally as a people, you know. I mean, that was a point I heard someone bring up when you remember that guy, the crocodile hunter?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like this one person must have emailed a news station or something, and they were like, "Oh yeah, my kids were more upset about Steve Irwin dying than their own grandfather dying," you know.
Oh,
it's
man.
Like that. Uh-oh. Right. Yeah, that's the kind of world we are in, because we have all these characters. I mean, these characters are in existence in the 40s, 30s because of the movies. But, I mean, on the scale it is today, with all the different movies and all the... I mean, video games, music, all the music industry is way, way, way bigger than it could ever have been back in the day. So now we got all these little heroes. I didn't even mention the actors. The actors and actresses, you know. Whatever happens with them. Oh, my God. You hear, Tom Cruise is now dating. Oh, my God. Like, and just like this is actually what they discuss. And, you know, the first time I figured that out, that's actually happening in the world, I was aghast. I didn't know what to even think. I was like, what, really? Like, I don't believe that. And then, you know, slowly understood how stupid people were. No, I was very idealistic in the day, but
yeah, you have to understand what it really is, so how it works.
They say
it's like Hollywood, where dreams come true, right? That's a mantra, at least when they used to use it. And this is something I used to talk about a bit on the show, on the earlier shows. And if you look at your brain recognizes television as the same way it recognizes dreaming. Right.
Right.
But if you look at dreaming and understand it, this is actually the process where genetic memory is written.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And you got to see all these people turn into Homer Simpson. They're right. They are becoming Homer Simpson because their brain is recognizing that as genetic memory being written.
Right.
And I wish more people would understand this fact and how serious it is. Like, and that's why a lot of it gets worse with generations. I mean, this next generation is gonna be pretty bad. Like, a lot of our parents only had stuff like Archie Bunker and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And you got people that are growing up watching, like Walking Dead and stuff, and Bob movies, and it's becoming part of them. As well, these video games are just as bad as well, I think, because it's like a lucid dream, because you're taking part in it. So I think that's going to be that's an important part as well, right?
Yeah, and not only that, but that it just eats up time. You're not doing anything else, you know. You're using your spare time to accomplish nothing, you know. I mean,
no, it's less than nothing. They're unaccomplishing.
Right.
Not only they're forgetting things that are important, one, and they're undoing generations of evolution, right?
Exactly.
So, like, not only are they're just like, it's like they're, I don't know, it's like the Godfather paradox from like all these time travel movies, right? Or grandfather paradox. They're undoing themselves, like, for generations, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it's just like, I mean, it's Now, as for video games, you know, I mean, they're not the most, what's the word I'm looking for? They're not the most visceral experiences, but, I mean, people carry around smartphones. I mean, millions of people have smartphones now, and they have pretty well-produced games. I mean, and then I'm saying that because they have it everywhere they go now. You know, I mean, everything's with them all times, and you know, how much of that time is wasted on like nothing? I mean, you could be on your iPhone looking at something like the news or you know, historical facts or something, like, you know what I mean? But I mean, they don't use it for that. They look up Justin Bieber's newest hat, choice of hats or something.
Yeah, smartphone. I use the RSS feed on mine. I'm always on it, but. I don't have time to look up my read all my RSS feeds. I just get like a ridiculous amount of stuff coming through there. So that's a good purpose for it, I think.
Mhm. Yeah. Oh God, it's a mess. It's a cultural wasteland. It is,
yeah,
and it's just
fucking
it's
door, man.
It's horrible, and it's and you know, I would love. You know, and also, something I wanted to bring up on my next show, I might as well bring it up now. The thing I brought up before, they were saying, you know, they're just out admitting that we're going to be a minority, us white people, in these United States. And, you know, if that's the case, what's exactly stopping the federal government from, you know, creating white cultural group, white Screen Actors Guild, a white Writers Guild, white Women League. You know, I mean, really, like if we approach the government with these demands as a whole community, which I know won't happen. No one has to tell me that white people aren't gonna, you know, say as a single race, white Americans. You know, that group is so divided in of itself. So I know this is. Rather much of a pipe dream, I know. But this is what I want to see happen. If we demand these things, really make a loud, pronounced calling.
Well, you can be smart about it too. Like, you can go to colleges and start a European culture society.
You know, that would have been a smart thing for me to do, but the thing is, it's just like, I was such a recluse, I doubted and had such a negative outlook, I was just like, there's no one, I mean, I was in an anthropology club, it was just full of a bunch of airhead dummies. I mean,
yeah, and they want smart people to be left out, right? They don't want them to be part of the thing, really, so.
That, yeah, something I actually brought up in my anthropology class, sociology class, and you know, I said, you know, it's almost as if being smart is the vogue, having an educated thought or opinion or discussing something other than the TV or music is totally, you know. For lack of a better term, uncool. And I mean, am I wrong, Lou? I mean, what?
Yeah, you're right. That's exactly what I'm talking about with what this damn TV actually does to people.
Yeah,
because it's not in their it's not in their system to behave like that if they're watching TV all the time.
Right, and I think it's part of the black culture as well, because blacks are encouraged to be complete morons and be criminals. And be welfare leeches, and that's
yeah,
not what it
they,
is.
They
that's
never put something like,
yeah,
you know, like a jazz or something. They never try to put like a jazz band with a bunch of black guys and just playing like a brass sort of band. They never put that on television.
No, maybe in the '70s. That shit's over now.
Yeah, can you imagine what they would do? I would just like to see people's reactions if they did that, especially black people. They'd be like, what? They can do this? What? We're allowed not to act like this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And this is another thing. Like, if we didn't, like, say, just say we're all the same, And say we kept the minorities, well, maybe not the equals enough, right? But say the minorities are there, right? And if we just treated it as we are different, right? Because black people are less intelligent, one, and two, they develop faster, so they're not going to want to stay at school as long. Like, just
Yes.
genetically, right? They'd mature faster. I mean, look at Trayvon Martin. They had the picture of him when he was 12, right? To put on the news.
Oh, right. Yeah. What a joke that was. Wow.
Yeah, and so they could have the integrated high schools with like basic trades, and then they're not all going to be middle class, but they could be like low, I'll be lower middle working class people, and their lives would be a lot better, right, if they did stuff like that. But they won't, right? And it's just as liberal and destroys everything, man.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, be your own person. It's okay. Oh my God. It's okay if complete moron. We'll still give you the power to vote and just, I don't know. It's just stupid. I mean, democracy. I mean, what is this? This is what we were fucking fighting Hitler for. This shit, really?
Yeah,
Wow.
it's not even democratic anymore unless you're on the
No.
state level. You're
Yeah.
pretty much going to have a democratic president forever now.
Oh yeah. Oh, in the United States, yes. Yeah. I mean, we were talking about that. Probably just last week. No, I mean, on Thursday or no, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. No, we were talking about just that. How the minorities they all vote for Democrat essentially. It's not a far-fetched belief to think that the Democrats are going to have a stronghold now, because I mean I don't know,
And there's another, and their pawns in the Republican Party are just getting just weirder and weirder, right? Even
yes.
if they had someone like as bad as he was, like George Bush, who could actually kind of get people behind him, but they
Yeah.
don't even have anyone like that. They have all these Romney, with like a preppy twit, and get John McCain, who.
Perry, don't forget about Rick Perry.
Oh, Rick Perry. Maybe they'll use him. I think they're gonna bring up Rand Paul this time, and
Yeah, right.
he'll
You're
go
I
on
think
this libertarian ticket about how we all need to end all restrictions of
Yeah.
everything forever. Well, they actually might let him in just so they can like break down all their these laws, right? That are keep them out of trouble, like all these banking regulations. And then they'll just put someone else in and whatever, right? But I still can't see that happening. He's like, the Paul family are the favored false opposition for the Jews. They've served them too well over too long to just not keep that going.
Right. Here's my prediction. Rand Paul will get really popular on both sides of the spectrum, and then he's gonna come out with his little mini pallbearer book, which is like the little red book, and everyone will get a copy. And they'll all find out about how great their great leader is. And they're gonna have some wacky ass war, like a serious one soon. And I'm just predicting Obama will get offed. I mean, honestly, like they could do that, and they might. And I've always thought that. I mean, from the get go, something like creepy like that would happen. They do that, and then Biden's president. And no one buys it, then I don't know. I don't know. I'm just
I
saying.
don't know. Before I was too into this race issue, I thought they might waffle Obama or something. But I mean, it just works out well for them.
It
It's
does.
like
It
it's just
absolutely
like all these they do in all the movies and all the commercials where the strong alpha leader is the black guy, right? So I mean, it's too good for
does.
them to pass up.
Yes, it is. It works. It works culturally. It works, politically. The Latinos love them. The Asians love them. And of course, the black people love him. You know, I mean, I know not all of them do. I mean, come on. I mean, God. And but that's part of it too. You know, we know that like some black people have a problem with Obama, but then you know they're inclined to you know we gotta vote Republican now. As black people, we must vote Republican now because you know. But that's
A very small number, and a lot of these were guys that were like anti-Bush back in the day, and a lot of the anti-Bush people flipped on that too, man. Like they probably all hated Bush, right? But but all these like conspiracy theorist guys, a lot of them just like went to sleep really when Obama got voted in. It's like because like they lit the books read a little bit, like read some conspiracy theories, not just make them think it's all white people so they'll hate them.
Yeah. I mean,
like they'll put that out there. That's actually why a lot of people say like, oh, let's talk to black people, and they kind of get it, right? They get with them. Well, they know what happens, and they just kind of let it go by, right? That's like they'll have Jay-Z doing all these Freemasonic.
Yeah.
That's the point of it, right? To make it think like, oh, it's all down to them devil white people. And it's just there to further get people against each other, right?
Yeah, and you have all the really conservative black preachers, you know, oh, he's a Satanist. He's working for the white people. Like some of them, like, you know, I mean, that's just more division, and they always benefit from the division, don't they?
Yeah, and a lot of these fringe black groups are something weird. I think it was Nation of Islam that they had this sort of inner circle. And you had to kill like 7 white people to be in it.
Oh, Jesus.
And then one of the guys got caught, and it was like, he named himself Yahweh bin Yahweh. And then he set up like one of these black Israelite things. And to even be a member of the church, you had to kill white people. He killed a white person. And he went to jail for like 14 years. After killing, like, they caught them killing, like, I don't know, at least 14 people or something. And when he got released, the only thing in the papers was, oh, they won't let him see his congregation.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And when he opened, he murdered white people, right? And this was a while ago, too. This was back in, like, before 2000 or something.
Oh, wow.
If you want to listen to about it, William Pierce. Yeah, William Pierce, the saga of Yahweh bin Yahweh. It's a pretty interesting little tale there.
Okay, yeah, William Pierce would talk about that. Hello, this is Dr. William Pierce. Why is it the white man has to do everything for the black man? this is my attempt. I've been practicing it. I don't know.
He's a character.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Miss that guy.
Yeah, he's, we need more people like that.
Yeah, we really do. He was that old, he was the old-timey, like, nerd guy who had, you know, cojones, and,
I wouldn't even say he's that nerdy.
Yeah, but, no, wait a second, he had giant glasses, and he was studying physics, what, the 50s? I mean, come on.
Well, that was before Big Bang Theory came out, and people thought all physicists were fucking done D&D players or whatever, right?
Yeah, I guess. Oh man, he was.
Yeah, that's another thing this nerd culture promote, right? And it's like they had like all these movies like Revenge of Nerds, and all the nerds were Jews.
Yeah,
that's Revenge of the Nerds, and all the jocks are all these like. Blonde hair, blue-eyed white people.
Yep.
And they know what they're doing. They're getting people to think they need to side with the Jews, all the smart people. It's really strange. But it worked. You get all these scientists and smart people and say shit about the Jews. And there's not the like really intelligent professors and people like that. Like we got Kevin MacDonald.
Yeah.
But there's none of these people with like PhDs and stuff. They're going out and saying stuff about it. And that's what we need, really.
Yeah, I mean,
because like if you're a Bill Bob PhD, people are like, oh, maybe he has something interesting to say. And if you're Bill Bob from the trailer park, people are going to be like, oh, he's one of them, right?
Yes, exactly. And you know, but there's a thing about today. It's like things so integrated, and everything can be your name can be sullied very quickly. And through various methods, and you know, it's the information age. It's not called that, you know, on accident. It truly is. Like, there's so much information being traded at all times, constantly. And I mean, someone, a PhD guy, someone with a credible professor with a degree in anthropology. Or even sociology, God forbid. And also, I mean, if you get any people with credible names within, you know, just the pop culture, you know, I don't want to say Mel Gibson, but someone, you know, I mean, someone with money and someone with fame,
yeah,
they can't do it because they'll be crucified. They will, and it's not even about them not working again in Hollywood. Oh. It's about their name getting sullied and dragged through the mud for saying one thing about who? The Finns. Yeah.
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 Finn bastards.
Yeah. God.
Yeah, it's really weird. Yeah, what else did I do? Yeah, then they come out with all this fake physics, like Einstein and stuff.
Oh, God. Yeah. You had a good show on Einstein, I remember.
Yeah, I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna start looking into which physics, all these different types of science, looking into. There is this one theory. It was the ice world theory by Hoppe, and apparently they're studying this a lot. And I'm trying to find some of the work on it, and it's hard to find. They actually destroyed it, all of it. If you look at the science in SCAP, which there was a bit of, right?
Yeah.
And actually a lot, right? They got rocket scientists, the chemists, and all that. They all came to the States. Rush got all these electrical engineers working on all these scalar types of things, right? They got all them. And that's why, like, and the space race was pretty much done by all these different German scientists, right?
Yeah.
Acting out this way, and I think that might have even been like a sort of a trick by JFK to get people off the Jewish system, right? Because now we're going to try to go to space, and it's pretty brilliant, right? Because that took all people's attention away from the war and the shitty television, right?
Yeah,
but if you look at it, like, the Russians got certain stuff into space first because they had all these scalar guys and all these field guys, right? But eventually, the U.S. they had better propulsion systems and stuff like that, and they were able to get over there first, right? Mm. But it's all because of these fucking German scientists.
Yep.
But then there's other stuff that really went against the mainstream narrative, like Einsteinian physics and stuff like this.
Yeah.
Was destroyed, or at least like Alexandria Library, and they just kind of hit all the good stuff in some bunker
mm-hmm.
somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Library of Alexandria. I like that.
But something about Hoppe's theory clicked with something I was looking into recently.
Okay.
Something about all these different studies done by and all these different types of magnetism and temperature and stuff. So actually, I meant to studies this week, and I never got around to it. So I'm going to be talking about that eventually, though.
Okay, cool. Sounds good.
Anyway, it's top of the hour. Do you want to take a break?
All right, sounds good.
Oh, yeah, some callers, too. I forgot to check the call work, guys, but how about we play a song?
Yeah.
And we'll get to these callers.
All right, sounds good.
All right, just got to pick something here. This is always good. Oh, hello?
Hello?
I was gone too, was I?
Yeah, it was dead air for a little bit there.
Sorry about that, guys.
Yeah, it was okay. It's not even a minute long, man. It was fine.
All right, now, want to take some callers?
Yeah, sure.
Let's do it.
All right, well, one of them dropped there. 614, you're on the air.
Hey, Lou, what's going on? It's Ray.
Hey, man, this is it. Chilling out. What are you saying?
You know what? I'm talking about the gun control. Australia and England, they had similar shootings to Sandy Hook, right?
Yeah, actually, a lot of places do it in Australia. A lot of other places. What was the one in England? There's a lot of sketchy information about that. Like, he was seen in a lot, like, the shooter was seen in a lot of different, like, Freemason get-up and stuff.
Okay.
A lot of allusions to the Breivik thing. But yeah, they always do that. There's probably a lot more of them too. I can't think of a lot of them.
Well, yeah, but those are like the English speaking countries, right?
Yeah.
Australia, England, and now United States. Okay. Now Saturday after the Sandy Hook shooting, okay, I called into 610 WTVN Saturday morning open phones Columbus, Ohio radio. It's called SMOP, S-M-O-P, Saturday morning open phones, right? Okay, and I basically told them that the shootings were staged for gun control, and I was cut off immediately, okay? Now, I'm not done. Let me finish. They 2-3 days later, my computer got taken over, okay, with script, a crazy script. There was like triangles and crazy letters. And, I mean, you know, I don't know what to say. I mean, I know that, you know, they targeted me because I came forthrightly out and spoke out against the crap. You know, I basically called it, and they didn't like it, so they wanted to let me know that they could take over my computer. So that's kind of weird, you know?
Yeah, I hear them being a lot more brazen with stuff like that these days.
Have you ever heard of anything like that happening, Lou?
Well, the guys over Anonymous, the Anonymous guys, they're saying their people are starting to get hit. And people
like
coming after them and stuff. No, people like grabbing them off the streets and interrogating them and stuff.
From where is this?
You get the group Anonymous, the hacker group.
Right, right.
Yeah, they're saying their guys are getting like interrogated and stuff.
Well, we just got to pack a pistol in our pocket, and we better not be cautious, because you better step off, and because it's making me nauseous. That's a beastie, the Jew boys. But, yeah, we got to play games like them. We got to play the fucking Irks. What, can I say that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, man, we could just play the fucking Jew boy game with them. You know, we got to we need to pack a pistol in our pocket, and we better be cautious. You know?
Yeah, I think a lot of different like psychological warfare. I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but we got to start playing these games with these people because if they're off their game, they screw up all the time. Like they're always getting caught like running their mouths, right? And you hear all these different Jewish quotes everywhere, right? So they can get off their game pretty easily. So we need to start thinking of different ways where we can take advantage of that, really, and start to get into their heads and making them screw up. Right. One of the best ways to defeat a trickster is with another trick. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Prankster, gangster. But yeah, man.
Go ahead.
Yeah. They had a 4-hour show. Okay. And now it's been cut down to a 2-hour show, all right? And okay, they had, now they're talking about religion on it. I mean, they're trying to bring that in. You know, the Jew book, right? The Bible, which we know is a fraud. I mean, you know, they talk about, you know, usury. Oh, you're allowed to charge usury to a Gentile, but, you know, not to a Jew. Now, come on. What kind of God, wait a minute, Lou. What kind of God would say something like that? I mean, it's just
Yahweh. Asinine.
It's
only
crap.
Yahweh. Only Yahweh.
Yahweh. But I'm at the end of my rope with Christianity, man. I'm tired of it.
Yeah, it's getting too ridiculous.
Well, like, what you have to realize
it's always been too ridiculous.
The only thing propping the Jews up right now are these goddamn Christian Zionists.
Well, let me just really, really quick, because I know you guys are going to, you know, because I'm not going to be on here too much longer, but, yeah, the New Testament, you basically got to, how can I say, you got to cut it. How do you say it when you take the good and you leave the rest behind? But there is some good, of course, in the New Testament, there is good. You got to take the good and leave the rest behind. That's basically.
I wouldn't even go that far, man. I think people need to burn them, man. Just like they did with all our original European books and legends.
No, there's some spirituality in there, and you know.
Not really. Not anything particularly
some,
good.
Some. Well, there's some.
And it's like, don't be a dick, but I mean that's pretty much what everyone else says, right?
Yeah.
That's common knowledge stuff. I wouldn't even go that far, man. I think it needs to be.
You're totally against it. You're totally over it.
Especially after dealing with these CI people. I'm going Charles Giuliani mode on it, man. Maybe I'll try to get him on the show sometime.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah.
I don't want to just get blitzed and do it like Charlie Uncensored or something and
oh, please.
but seriously, I mean, there is, you know, positiveness in the New Testament. I'm just saying,
like
I said, you can't. Well, there's morals. There's spiritual values. I'm not saying I follow it. You know,
what in specific though? That's not really anything that good in there.
Well, you have to. You got to delve into it and pick it apart. Like I said, keep the rest. You know, leave the rest and keep the best. You know.
No, it's stuff like if someone hits you, turn the other cheek.
If
someone hits
that.
You, right, you hit them twice as hard. That's what I think.
Right, you got to leave that as the rest. You know, keep the best, leave the rest. You know.
I don't even think there's that much good in it, from what I can tell. Much better moral philosophies to follow.
Well, it's basically what here's what I think. I think it tells you to leave the physical and go into the spiritual realm, and you know, to realize that, you know, life is supposedly about physical pleasures and, you know, this and that, and it tries to teach you a little bit of spiritual. You know,
it
design.
Doesn't really even say that. It just says to be a frickin' prole, man. Like, just to be a peon. It doesn't really. And
right.
Say, pray to God, pray to this messianic father figure. And it's not cool, man. That's my opinion, anyway.
Well, just keep an open, a little bit more of an open mind. I mean, because, you know.
I used to be like that, too. I used to be, okay, maybe there's some good stuff in it, and I couldn't really find anything, so I just, I'm sick. I'm done with it now, man.
Yeah.
The Jews are being propped up by this Christian Zionism. I think the better methodology at this point would just be Antichrist central, man, just completely. Just because right now, especially in America, that it's so ingrained and it's the agenda is so connected with that. I think the more effective route at this point would just to be not even to save some of it. You got to There needs to be a vanguard against it at this point, especially in America. Like, I can understand about the Orthodox in Eastern Europe.
Well, yeah,
and stuff like that.
Organized religion is crap. Organized religion is crap. I agree with that. But
the organized aspect, the disorganized Christianity aspect has been just as bad. Like, yeah, look at America, right? You have all these different denominations. Like, at least with, like, a lot of the Eastern Orthodox, they can sort of use that as a vanguard, right, against different policies, right?
So you think that the Jews created Christianity to overcome the European society? I mean, because that's been put out there.
Not European in particular, more so Rome as well as Greece. People always say Rome, but they leave out Greece. I mean, it was written in Greece, and they had just as much with Greece. Well, yeah, I guess, but not so much. Well, Eastern or Western Europe too, because a lot of it's from they knew that the barbarians, quote unquote, were sacking Rome and beating them left and right at this point. So I mean, it wouldn't surprise me that they thought, okay, we need to get all three of these guys, right? Because they knew Europe would rise, and they had to get that in there before then, I think.
Well, you know, like I said, there are some spiritual aspects to the New Testament, but like I said, you gotta, you know, cut and paste and take out the bad and keep the good. You know, that's my take on it.
Yeah, Thomas Jefferson already did that.
Yeah.
Well, they can keep all the pagan festivals and take out everything else. But the pagan festivals weren't even part of the original thing, right? And I'm tired of it, man. I don't think we should even bother with that. There's other, let them be Wodenists or Estreu or something, man. I'm sick of it completely. They're way better moralities and things like that, right? Or give them a Nietzsche book or something.
Well,
that's my opinion on it anyway. I don't think it's even salvageable at this point.
I mean, I definitely, you know, did have kind of a part of a spiritual experience with it, but, you know, learning what I've learned over the past few years, you know, listening to, or learning about, rather, the Old Testament and how evil the Old Testament is, yeah, the New Testament kind of, you know, looks back into the Old Testament, but it's a little bit different. But yeah, it's just weird, man.
A lot of the youth don't really give a damn about it anymore, and that's the wave of the future. We need to foster that as much as possible and not give them the footstool or the leg up that they're taking with it anymore. I think it's from a strategic perspective, I think that's the best way forward.
But I think it's really strange how, you know, that radio station, now that, you know, they're pushing that religious angle, you know, and before they had this, well, they have a new Jew on, let's put it that way, a new Jew, right? But the one I called up that cut me off, he was Dirk the Jerk, you know, and now it's some other Jew, but, you know, now they're pushing religion, and I don't know, man. It's just, I just wish we lived on a planet that, you know, would just use technology and, you know, good information to just raise everybody up and say, you know, let's just get better. Let's get on with this. Let's grow, you know, large ears of corn. I mean, you can electrocute the soil and grow vegetables that are like, you know, the size of your head, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
hyperbaric chambers as well work really well.
Yeah. I mean, We need to just quit being stupid, and we need to just, man, it's just, and then the money, of course, is funny, and what are we going to do about that? It's a Jewish-controlled system.
Yeah, it's just the thing about the Christians. Like, people will argue, well, is it the bankers or is it the media, right? Well, the people consuming these services are all the giant Christian Zionist population, and they won't ever be critical of it because they won't ever be critical of the Jews because they're Zionists.
Yeah, I know. So I know. That's even worse, man, because the Christians are supporting, and how many Christians wind up going to Israel or they watch John Hagee, or, you know, they worship all the preachers that go over to Israel. You know, it's the same situation.
Yeah, and people even say that the Jews hate Christianity. Well, they just hate the Gentiles. And they're always putting up these bigger and bigger mega churches, right? It's just disgusting.
And the schools are okay, and they're a big tax base, right? The Christian Zionists are a big tax base that support the government. Because what does the Bible say? It says you gotta, you know, pay unto Caesar, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's.
Yeah, and so people don't realize.
And then they're going to go along with, you know, kids getting vaccines, you know, and all the bull crap lies. It's just crazy, man. I wish we could just go, you know, find another planet to go to, because because what are we going to do? I mean, we can't stop it because the Christians are the problem. That's the crux of the matter. Now, it's not the Jews anymore. It's the Christians, because they outnumber the Jews probably 10 to 1. You
right,
know?
And even if we started to have a revolution, they put some old Holocaust survivor on the news, and she'd be like, oh, the Nazis are coming, the Nazis are coming, you need to protect us. Then you'll have all these Bible thumpers with their shotguns out in their pickup trucks hunting us down with the cops, right? So, I mean,
yeah.
This is something that can't be overlooked. I mean, I don't know how you actually fight it. But this ideology needs to stop, I think, man.
Well, you know what we got to do? We got to beat them at their own game. And I called up Mike Chambers the other day. I called up Doug Owen the other day. I called up Mike Sledge last night. And what we really have to do is we really got to form a monetary, you know, system that's our own, and we need to beat them at their own game. Or just use technology. We need to, right, both, monetary and technology driven. I mean, I don't know about an IPO, but, you know, because Wall Street's owned by, you know, the Fuse. The few, get it, the Fuse, the F-U-S-E. It's going to get lit on fire. Yeah, right. It's just crazy.
Yeah, I think we sort of need to rebuild sort of an aristocracy, like I was talking about before. We need all these people, like professors, who will talk out. All these credible people need to be out there, you know.
The professors that speak out, they get labeled as, or deemed as, you know, anti-Semitic and blah, blah, blah. And they're just telling the truth. It's crazy.
Yeah, and professors are a pivotal role in society as well. I mean, back in the day, actually, a lot of the people who would speak out about this stuff would be the professors. I mean, the learned professors, right? These guys are supposed to have our backs. But, I mean, they're all selling out, right? That's why they went after the colleges. And with Mike brought up last night, with the, like, all these French Revolution was started in colleges. And it's a real base for them. I mean, and like I said before, if you're a younger guy in your college, you could try to beat the system. Like I said before, you could have a European cultural society. You're not going to call it a white student union, right? But if you call it something like an European cultural society, you could sneak past the censors and stuff. You got to start being smart about stuff like this.
Yeah, and Lou, I talked to Doug yesterday, you know, about Turkey, and Turkey is kind of like the middleman. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, because he was saying that, you know, they are being invited to join the SCO, you know, the Shanghai Corporation Organization, and they're right in the middle, you know, they're right on the Med. You know,
yeah, Turkey's weird. There's a lot of they flip flop a lot because you got the Dunme. These are crypto Jews who live in Turkey and pretend to be Islamic, but they're losing power pretty quickly there. But they still have some control.
And they attacked Syria.
Yeah,
the FSA was the FSA came through Turkey into Syria. Right. And
a lot of them are from Qatar. Most of the fighters from Qatar. People don't realize. Qatar's men. The Qataris are fucking insane. They're all wild people. Right? They raised them like that. They had their
and they're
and what and they're... what Qatar did? The Emir of Qatar went and met with all these leaders, right? And he gave them like $1 million to build this or something, right? And he went and met with all these Hamas leaders, and he gave them all these guys pens with tracking chips in them. And then when Israel started that little conflict over there recently, just turned all the trackers on and the shit out of wherever they were.
That's crazy.
So, I mean, the sneaky bastards, man. Anyway, is there anything else you want to add? We have a caller on the line.
Oh, no, man. Just the Mossad and the Saudis, you know, I think Mike has, you know, basically spoken on that. So it's just disgusting. We live on a planet that's not too good. I mean, we need to somehow, you know, make high finance and technology and, you know, especially like through food and energy, just food, energy, technologies, because that's what we need, right? Food, water, we need to get well water, food, greenhouses, and high technology and transportation. And you go to the next caller, Lou. All right, man. Can you keep me on the line? Because I can't listen other than the phone.
All right, sure. I'll just mute you, man.
Yeah, all right. Thanks.
All right, 631, you're on the air.
What's going on, Lou? How you doing?
Hey, good man. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Andrew. I'm calling from Fort Bragg, North Carolina.
Hey, man. What's up?
Hey, I was actually told by Herr Ziegfeld himself that you're a big fan of Scotland and Scottish culture.
Yeah, I'm like half Scottish.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I'm probably like a quarter Scottish myself or whatever. I mean, I got some Scottish tattoos on me. I mean, I'm a big fan of William Wallace. You know, he was like my role model growing up and everything. So, you know, I'm a big fan of Scotland myself. So,
yeah.
But
brave people, great civilization. They're not given as much credit as they are due.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of who Scotland really reminds me of are the Spartans. The Spartans, they were both like Highlanders, right? They both, like Sparta was a mountainous place.
Yeah.
They both like really tough. They both ate like a lot of the same food.
Mm-hmm.
And they both, they had like similar battle wear. And the Spartans even had bagpipes.
Yeah.
And just like the warrior ethos that they have is a lot of the same. And then, England is a lot like Athens as well. It's really weird. Like they're very maritime. Culture, they do a lot of different plays and stuff, so it's really weird how that worked out.
Yeah, well, England can go to hell, so.
Yeah, it's mostly pretty bad. Some North Englanders are pretty cool.
There's not even any more, there's no more English there, Andrew. There's no more English there. They're all, we have Manchester, which is almost 50% white, and, you know, the rest of it's non-white, and that's whatever. You know, fill in the blank. not even the place. And they have in the UK, they have the racial categorization. It's white, and that counts for anybody who's white. That's Greeks, Italians, Albanians, Polacks. You know, it's not even they don't even count their own ethnicity really. So they really have given up on their race. I mean, they got a very, very strong nationalist fervor in England. But Scotland's going strong too. I mean, Scotland's got to be strong. Spain, Russia, Hungary,
yeah,
Germany.
Hopefully Scotland is able to go sovereign, man. I've been thinking about like moving there and trying to help them, man, just because I'd be so happy if that happened.
Well, you know what really sucks for Scotland is that, you know, like Lou was saying, that, you know, they don't get enough credit really for what they're due. And you know, it's almost like their nationality is like it feels fake, you know, like, yeah, it's listed on the map that they're their own country, but they're really not. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but don't they answer to England at all in all occasions? Like, if England goes to war, don't they have control to send Scotland's armies and stuff out there? Like, you know, they can train their own soldiers, they can have their own stuff, and, you know, kind of like the 13 colonies, right? Is that kind of, I mean, maybe not to that extent, but, you know.
Yeah, it's something
kind of
like the colonies. It's something like the colonies. Like, even here, the Queen is our head of the state, but we're a little more sovereign. I'm in Canada, right? We're a little more sovereign than Scotland is, like, after World War II. England lost all their colonies because Germany kicked their ass so bad. They couldn't keep them up. A lot of them took away their kind of power. We weren't able to get away completely. But a lot of their sort of powers were diminished. They can't order us around as much anymore. There's stuff like, if there's a lot of you passed, a lot of the times the Queen has to okay it and stuff like that. Or she can veto a lot of stuff. But it's not as much.
Right.
But then again, then they brought all these Jews in, and that's probably the plan, and they kind of run the rest of it.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it just really sucks for them because, you know, Scotland really, they fought so long and hard for their independence. And, I mean, you know, it all starts with the first English-Scottish War. You know, that was just like a series of conflicts, you know, because, you know, England was very much trying to, like, occupy them and, you know, with, like, Edward the Longshanks and all them. And, you know, when Scotland died with, you know, without a, you know, the main king, he died without an heir. So, you know, Edward the Longshanks kind of just, like, took over. And, you know, the whole William Wallace thing happened, and then he died, and then Robert the Bruce won the war for a little while, and then they came back, and then they signed that treaty, and then there you go. That just starts everything, you know, back over again, kind of.
Yeah, it's pretty messed up. But
and by that point, we had the Jews. Oh, no, that was the early 18th century. Then, you know, that was after Cromwell then. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, after Cromwell, I what happened in Scotland is, like, when Cromwell got in and did stuff like this potato famine, at that time, all of Scotland's Highlanders, these were these guys' best warriors, right? That's what my culture's from, my Scottish ancestry's from, all these Highland warriors, right? Probably yours as well, because a lot of the Scots that came over here were these all these warriors, right?
Yeah.
And they pretty much starved them out. They use that potato famine, not just after Ireland. They use it against these Highlanders because they were definitely a threat to Jewish power in England because their fighting style, right? And even in World War One and World War Two, the Canadians were pretty much the only people in a lot of cases who would go toe to toe with the Germans, right?
We were talking about Saturday.
It's from all the Highlanders and stuff, right? So.
Hey, what about the Black Watch, Lou? What do you know about the Black Watch?
Black Watch kicked ass.
I'm actually not aware of it. What's that?
And
Black
about
Watch?
Them? Was it like a specific like infantry division or something?
They were an elite fighting force of the United Kingdom. And they were all Scotsmen, and they were called the Black Watch, and they participated in a bunch of battles. I believe they were formed in World War One. I'm not actually gonna look this
well,
up
do you
right
know,
now. I'm not,
I think they were in a run with Napoleon. No, was that my way up? I don't know.
What I'd actually love to see is I like to see Scotland and Germany team up. They're both like the best warriors. Yeah. They produce the best scientists. I mean,
Lou, the best. I think the best axis is yet to come. That is Russia, Scotland, Greece, and Germany. There you go.
Oh, that'd be they take over the world, man.
They would.
Well, the Black Watch still exists today. Actually, right now I just looked it up. They have the Black Watch, their battalion, Royal Regiment, or also known as the Third Scots.
Nice. Yeah, the First Scots. There you go. Is there anything about them being around in the early 1903 with Napoleon?
You know,
what does it say their origins?
No, it says that their regiment was made the 1st of July, 1739. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. I guess.
Nice.
That does it. That's pretty badass.
Yeah, I have to look into that.
They have long warrior culture, and yeah, comparing them to the Greeks, I never even thought about that, Lou. That's pretty.
Yeah, because in Rome, Britain, they had a huge control over Britain.
Not Scotland.
They couldn't get past the. They had.
Well,
they couldn't get past like this mountainous area that sort of gets, right.
Yeah, the Highlands. Yeah, once you get in Yorkshire, even South Scotland's. Rather treacherous, especially for that time period. Yeah, I mean, they couldn't deal. And they had the Picts still there at that point, who were fucking crazy.
Yeah, the Picts were insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you guys ever heard of a movie called Valhalla Rising?
Oh, yeah.
The name sounds familiar.
It's, Zeke, I don't know if you've seen it before, but, it's like I'm not going to tell exactly what it's about, but it's about a one-eyed warrior who's a mute, and he apparently has pagan, like the dying of pagan culture and stuff. And the movie was entirely filmed in Scotland, which is and you can actually kind of tell if you're familiar with what the landscape's like, and all the actors are Scottish too. Beautiful movie. It's a really crazy movie, and I don't know if you ever heard of the term Valhalla, but that's like a haven for deceased Viking warriors. It's like their heaven, and it's like Valhalla is like endless battle, but it's what they die to do, you know.
My family from Scotland. These were the Galloglass, and this is the same with a lot of Highlanders. They were all. Largely like half Viking, right? And these were like, you see all these like axe wielding warriors and all this stuff. These were from mixing with the Vikings in the Viking Age when the Vikings were on the run from the Catholics and they all kind of hung out in that area and mixed in.
Well, that's the thing is that movie really touches on that whole rise of Christianity. And it doesn't necessarily criticize Christianity, it's just kind of telling a story and just trying to make cool out of it.
I would love to see a movie that actually does portray the Christians, how they truly were back in the early days of it there, because they were brutal.
Well, the movie is more about how Christianity was affecting even the Scotsmen too. You know, you had people who were going from paganism, and then they just switched over to, you know, because of the rise of this new religion and whatever, and you know, and all of a sudden the value of money came into play and stuff, and you know, it's really interesting. It really touches on a lot of subjects and stuff, and just the rise of organized religion killing off other religions and stuff like that, and that's what this main character in this movie is kind of preserving. Valhalla, which is the pagan, sanctuary and stuff. So it's a very good movie. It's worth watching.
Yep.
Hey, Andrew, you realize that Odin had one eye, right?
Yes. I'm glad you actually brought that up because the main character, they very much touch on that too. Like they never mention Odin in the movie, but there's so many connections to Nordic mythology. Yeah, and it's just, you know, the only way you'll knowledge of Nordic mythology, and because, you know, I'm, you know, all of us do, you know, and I've just seen it, and I was just like, wow, this movie is just like, it's great, you know. It's not for anyone who doesn't have any interest or appreciation for that kind of stuff. So
yeah, I'll definitely check that out.
Yeah, it's on Netflix too, I think, so it's you can watch it for free. Well, not for free, but
They didn't invent Netflix yet in Canada. He doesn't have Netflix.
No, we do have but it's like it doesn't have, it has like 10% of the movies that the one in America does.
Oh, you poor babies.
Well, I don't even, what will I do without my television movies? Right?
Hey, listen, you got hockey, right? I love hockey.
I don't even think I never even watched it, man. I used to a little bit at some point, but I don't think I've ever sat through an entire hockey game sober.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. I'm not really a big fan of sports, but I love hockey, and I love the culture of it, really. It's just like, you know, it's the only sport that, you know, you can be a real man and just go out there and just say, hey, you know what, I don't like you, I'm going to go fight you. And the only thing you get is a 5-minute penalty, whereas in other sports, you got whiny guys and stuff like football. Like, oh, you touched me. It's like, it's football, you dumbass.
Yeah, even though, like, I've never watched a full game of anything but hockey, probably. Like, like baseball and stuff. I just don't care at all.
Yeah, I mean, I get you, man. I mean, I do feel that, you know, people take sports to a very...
It's not even sports themselves. If half the people... instead of watching a sports game, played a sports game, we'd be in a lot better shape in a lot of different ways.
Oh, yeah, a lot of different ways. I was just about to say, yeah.
Like, they'd think clearer, they'd be healthier, they wouldn't be as stupid, like, because they're not. Because, I mean, exercise makes you smarter. Right? But it'd be a lot better. People would be getting outside, talking to human beings instead of the jukebox.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting thinking there.
Jews affects the whole cultural output nowadays. It's nothing. I mean, there's nothing not touched by them. I mean, whatever foundation you're working through, whatever record company you're working for, it's totally Jewified. There are the occasional films that come out and become popular, perhaps on their own accord and by word of mouth, but that's very rare when that happens, and even when it does happen, it's always, like, squandered or, like...
There is this movie that came out recently, Drive. All the villains were Jews. It's actually a pretty good movie. The villains were all Jews, and, like, when he kills a guy, he does it with a kosher knife, and he, like, washes it and he puts it back in the kosher case.
Really?
And then look up like on YouTube, Drive Anti-Semitism. They actually did this with a lot of the different symbols. Like whenever the Jew was on screen, they put like a gold lighting on him and stuff. And it was pretty interesting that they allowed that to get out. Like they kind of
would the gold lighting kinda, like signify greed or something?
Yeah. And, like, they'd have, like when he kills the guy, right, the Jewish gangster, like, it makes him, like, he lays out, like Jesus, like, on the ground, like he's crucified or something. And,
really?
Yeah, it's a good movie, anyway. It was a good movie, regardless.
Yeah, see, I had no interest.
And there's this other movie, it's called, like, The Happening. I don't know if that's the real name, but...
Oh, God.
Mark Wahlberg, right?
No, it was, I don't think that was the name. It was, it was something about, the Taiwanese, South Asian tsunami. And it was just like a white family trying to survive.
And all the
reviewers were like pissed off because they're like, why? Are they showing no people? It's Taiwan.
Ian McGregor. Ian McGregor's in that movie.
Yeah. It's actually like a whole movie. I haven't got around to watching it yet.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I didn't see it, but I remember, like, seeing previews for it, and I kind of had the same opinion like you, and I guess I don't know if you said it was you or the viewer, but whatever, but it's like, you know, I kind of feel like they do that because, you know, they're thinking that maybe the audience can, I guess, relate with the character better, because, like, what, like, he's a white British family, right, he's visiting that area, and I guess the family vacation goes astray when the tsunami hits. Oh, and apparently it's based on true events, so it's an inspirational story too, and never give up hope and stuff. It's just, I don't know. It's just always like
the impossible or something.
Yeah,
but apparently it doesn't have much like cultural Marxism and stuff like that. It's like a happy white family.
Exactly, yeah. Like, I mean, if you're trying to get, like, a real feel for it, why don't you put some poor-ass, you know, black family in there or something, or I don't know.
And it's actually made by, Latino people, too, so that's kind of funny.
I don't know. It's very interesting to see, you know, who makes those movies and why, and what's their purpose and stuff, and I don't know, they try to touch on subjects that, you know, people can relate to, but then they end up just making them a fool.
No, but, like, this one got, like, criticized really harshly, right? So, you know, not having, like, a Bucky by sidekick, you know? Something like that.
True. I clicked on
the IMDb page here, and it's, like, right on the first page, it has, like, what is it with all the racism? Like, let's clear up nationalities.
What's the deal with racism?
Man,
oh
yeah, no. Well, yeah, like, people, because you get, like, people who are just, like, overanalyze things and stuff, and, you know, I mean, actually, here's a perfect example. You ever heard of the movie Gods and Generals?
I don't think so.
I don't
follow it at all.
What's his name? Damn it, he always plays a cowboy in all those movies. Robert Duvall was Robert E. Lee. It's about the Civil War. But anyway, the biggest like criticism that was given to the movie was that they felt that it was very racist. And I mean, the first thought that came to mind, I was like, this is a movie about the Civil War. There was slavery, so. You know, what are these people thinking? You know, and obviously the person
they're
gonna
make a movie where like Robert E. Lee is black.
Yeah, it exists. Ronnie E. B. or something. No, exactly. And I just thought that, like, I mean, it's not like they were showing. It's not like it was like Django, you know, where they were showing like black men getting ripped to shreds by a freaking dog and stuff, and you know, they're whipping. You know,
yeah, Tarantino. That's because it's Tarantino. We were talking about that shit before, actually.
Yeah, the way it is now, every subsequent Tarantino movie has to be more gory and more anti-white than the last or something like that. Because these work on, like, scales. Like, even with that... with that Apatow guy, like, the first movie he put out was, like, Pineapple Express.
Yeah.
And that wasn't even that bad. Like, there wasn't, like, butt books everywhere and stuff like that. It's kind of, like, it was kind of easy, right? But then every subsequent movie gets worse. This is how they operate.
What, you're talking about Tarantino?
No, this is that guy who made Pineapple Express.
But
every subsequent movie is worse. But yeah, you can't even have, like, if the movie isn't, like, anti-white, it's racist, basically.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because, like, if they had Robert E. Lee, like, kicking puppies to death, it would probably have won the Oscar, right?
I suppose so. An interesting thought.
Yeah, nowadays they just toy with race all the time. And, you know, if any other race is depicted somewhat poorly or can be misconstrued as some sort of a caricature that's being used to you know, belittle a race other than the white race. They go to town to destroy the image of that film or whatever it is, the director, whatever, the writer who was responsible for it. Any other, I mean, in the either a different way, like a white person is destroyed over and over and over again on every commercial out nowadays, mm-hmm. not every movie, but many movies nowadays, and not to mention the TV shows. I mean, my God, the sitcoms, that's an old vestige of TV programming. I mean, we have Homer Simpson, and then even before that, Barney Rubble, whatever his name was, in the Flintstones. I mean, wasn't he a retard too? And he was also white, you know?
Well,
they go to town to destroy a white man's image.
Well, yeah, I do think that there is a double standard in many things. Actually, you know, even if, while we're on the topic, you know, I think there's a double standard with not only race, but there's also with gender too. And that's just the way it is. But I mean, I'm in the Army and everything, and you know, they keep talking about how they're trying to make things equal and more particular with females, and they're trying to make females allowed to be joined combat arms. And that's been a big, you know, big controversy, you know, because then they're saying, oh, well, you know, females can't endure the kind of stuff that men can, but then, you know, some women are stronger than men. You know, it's just all over the place. You know, and now they're trying to, you know, they're trying to treat them the same way, especially with the ranking systems and stuff. But, you know, I mean, I've been in the Army for probably about almost a year and a half now, and I see a big difference between how females and males are treated. And, you know, and I guess you could definitely say the same thing with race too. But, you know, like I said, just with the females and stuff, it's like, you know, you have two lower enlisted soldiers, one's a male, one's a female. The female gets treated like gold because, you know, especially if she's very good looking, you know, it's like, I don't know, man. I really don't dig that shit, you know. I mean, I don't know how it is.
Yeah, unless she's like a nurse or something, she shouldn't be over there.
I'm not going to sit here and, you know, try to badmouth women and stuff. And I mean, women can, you know, they can do what they want.
Badmouthing women if you say you don't want to send them to a fucking war zone, you know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, no. We understand where you're coming from, Andrew. Don't worry.
Yeah.
We understand. We understand.
I mean, that's another thing they put up there. Like, if you don't want to send your women to a war zone, you hate women, right? That's what they put up there.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you
want
to protect your women, right?
Yeah, the Spartans sent their women to fight all the time, and the Scottish did too. Like, what? I mean,
no, they didn't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, you know, I mean, we look back at how our people behaved back in the day.
And women had a lot of rights in Sparta. They were homeowners and landowners and stuff like that.
They must have been tough ladies, yeah.
Yeah, they were tough as well. They worked out all the time and stuff. And they were actually said to be the most attractive women in Greece or the ancient world, for that matter.
I believe it.
Helen of Troy, like, faced at lunch the 1,000 ships. She was Spartan.
They
had hot girls over there in Sparta, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because people get the misconception that if a woman works out all the time, you know, they think of, like, these bodybuilders who are built by trucks, you know, and it's very unattractive. And, you know, I look at them and I'm like, nah, that ain't how it is because, people here in the Army, they got to keep in shape. And, there's a lot of attractive women in the military because of the way that they have to work out. It's not like they lift weights all the time.
If something like CrossFit. Yeah, I think that works out a lot more for them.
Right, exactly. And, I mean, that's how
it is. But even having, like, if you have, like, a strong abdominal area, that's very good for childbirth. Because what happens is the head, right, the human head is bigger than the birth canal. But you can circumvent this through having a well-built mid-range and, like, midriff area there. In fact, this is where, like, belly dancing comes from in the ancient world. That's what it was there for, because if you have a girl that belly dances, she's not going to have birth problems. But when that head comes out, it gets out of that canal, it can cause a lot of stress on the brain and stuff, right? And before Freud, it was generally accepted that a lot of psychological problems actually come from birth trauma. So, I mean, that's a very important thing right there. Plus, belly dancing is awesome, I have to say.
Yeah, I would say so.
Well, we got, 5 minutes left? Is there anything else you guys want to talk about?
Not really.
Yeah, we covered just about all of it, man. We went from Scotland all the way to childbirth. I think that's a very wide range.
We freaking talk about Valhalla, too. I mean, shit.
Yeah, we covered a lot of issues.
Yeah, we did. I mean, thinking about the whole show, the whole 2 hours, shit, man.
I'm glad we didn't, set a topic either. We hit a lot of stuff.
Yeah. When you set a topic, you kind of, you narrow it down too much, and I just think people feel intimidated by that. It's just
then you also get the people who really disagree with you call in.
About.
Yeah, they call in, and they, no, you're right, yeah.
Nah, you just, when it comes to, conversations like this, man, I don't like to come in confrontational. I just kind of, listen to the facts, and just kind of, maintain a level-headed kind of personality, and just say, whatever. If I really don't like what you're saying, I'm just, whatever. I'm not going to be Bill O'Reilly and tell you to go fuck yourself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, God. You're a pinhead, Andrew.
Thank you. Thank you so much. He wrote another book, actually.
Why? I mean, it'll sell. It'll sell.
Probably wasn't even him that wrote. It's probably a team of rabbis and they're putting a lot of anchors.
The evil rabbis? comic book villains?
They're marching around. They're rubbing their hands and cackling variously.
Wow, that's... he hangs out with evil Hasidic Jews.
they're all sitting around a giant round table that's shaped like the earth with a knife in it full of blood.
speaking of evil Jews and stuff, what was it? In the army, I have yet to meet a Jewish person. I have not met a single soldier who is Jewish.
Hey, you mean the Israeli wars that they're funding with their little buddies? They're not actually sending their boys off to be in the military. Wow, no way. Wow.
Yeah, no. It's very interesting. I mean, like I said, I'm not saying I haven't been in the army forever, but I've definitely been in here longer than a day, and I just haven't. And I've been to 4 or 5 different states, and I spent a lot of time in them. So I just have yet to see or meet a Jewish soldier. And I bet you, the few Jewish soldiers that are out there are probably officers, generals and stuff. Ones I haven't met yet.
Yeah,
there isn't many, and if they are in there, they get promoted pretty quickly, and they end up with a comfy office job and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, not me, man. I'm a goddamn grunt. That's just what I signed up for. But
mm-hmm. You're Scottish. You're German. Yeah.
Hey, I'm a lot of things, man. Actually, I just found out. My mother just told me that. We are half Naples, half Sicilian. Because she was always telling me I'm... So it's a very conflicting mix.
Oh, well, to the northern Italians, you're the same. The Italian blood's the same.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was always told I'm half Italian because my mother's a full-blood Italian. And
all right, we're going off the live stream now. We'll probably go a little bit in overtime. I'm not sure how long.
Okay.
But
right.
Live stream's off, but we can still talk for another little while.
That's cool, man. But like I said, my grandfather, my mom's dad, was off the boat from Sicily, and my mother's mother, she was born in America, but her mother, my great grandmother, was from Naples, so that's just pretty cool.
Yeah, the southern Italians, they get a bad rap from the northern Italians, from everybody else.
They're mixed,
they only went after the Italian mafia too, right?
Fascist.
So I saw them as a threat.
Right.
Yeah.
Or just even like they always hated the Romans, right? And they just want to. They want people to think of the Italians as these gangsters or these fat plumbers or something, right?
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I mean, I've never, it's not that I don't care about my Italian side. I'm just not as fascinated with it. Like, I'm also German and Scottish and Irish, and that's like, I'm very much more engaged in that kind of stuff. Like, I went to Germany for a month, and I dated a girl from Munich. And, I mean, that was probably the best vacation I ever took.
Easily, yeah.
And, like, yeah. Germans are just cool as hell, and the beer is really good, the food is excellent, and, I mean, Munich and Bavaria is beautiful. And I went to, I went up north to Berlin, and I went my way back down south, and I stopped in Thuringen, and just, I mean, you know, so I'm checking out several different states, you know, Bavaria was just by far gorgeous.
Yeah, beautiful country, beautiful people, beautiful civilization that's going away. That is soon to be dead. And it's not even like one thing killing it. It's the government, it's the culture, it's the media, you know, it's a dying reality. It's not completely dead. I mean, the cities are bad, but the countryside is still fine. I mean, Munich's down in Bavaria, but fucking Berlin and London and all these, Paris is bad. You know,
You know what it is? This is what I gathered. Germans are very, they're still very ashamed about World War II. And it's something that they'll never get rid of because the world continuously reminds them of it. I mean,
yeah, but you know, no. If that'll only go away then if the world with Germany reconciles everything, which can happen. Mm-hmm. It's not impossible. I mean, just bring up to the fact that, I mean, how many?
I think the Germans, like, I think a lot of them know the truth, right? But they're just fucking tired. They fought the whole world twice.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, maybe you guys can do something. We're just gonna sort of chill out and chill out for now and see what happens, right? But hopefully, there's we can go for Reich number four pretty soon.
Well,
yeah.
You know, and it's like, I feel like Germany, they're doing a lot of things right. And I mean, you know, because they recently got, you know, they got rid of the marks a while ago, so they went to the Euros, and you know, that also goes along with how they're losing their identity because they decided to join up with the Euro. And you know, Europe is just trying to make things easier and just join into one big continent kind of thing, you know, and that's what the point of the Euro was supposed to be.
It's communism.
Well, it'll be hilarious if Europe did join as one giant country and they're like, all right, Jews, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Send them over to the
Ukraine. Yeah, we're just playing along. now, get out, right? Hey, take your immigrants, too. now you can't say anything because we're all one big country, right?
Right.
Hey, listen, all we got to do is just send them over to some distant island on the coast of Africa or some shit. We don't care.
Yeah. Fernando Poo. Did you hear that island? Fernando Poo.
Yes.
Look it up.
I don't know anything about it, but I just heard about it.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. Fernando Poo. We got Madagascar. We got Siberia. There's plenty of places.
Siberia. I like that. That's funny. But
we
I mean,
should
yeah.
send them to all the third world countries that they've been screwing over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
can't really screw them over. You can't really
yeah.
screw over those third world countries. There's nothing really to take from them. I mean, unless they have, like, oil or cheap labor, I guess, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
They turn them all into fucking textile workers, and they can't
yeah.
be around oil. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can't.
I don't know, man.
Siberia is full of caribou, so that's perfect.
Yeah. Caribou, caribou.
Back to I was just gonna make a point with Germany. Was I was saying that because going back to the Euro, you know, like was Spain that was like fucking over the Euro and stuff because you know, they just, they're not spending their money correctly. And they were like, you know, they were causing their economic system to pretty much go to hell. Germany was one of the few countries there that was actually like keeping them afloat because they're doing their shit right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Germany's always bailing out Spain, man. They stopped the communist revolution too.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point.
Wait, what did they do?
Yeah, back before World War II, Spain, they had a civil war, like, because there's a lot of communists there, and Germany sort of helped them and stopped it. Then fucking Spain didn't even help in the war. I mean, they were able to check England pretty easily, right, if they joined the Axis.
I don't know. I don't really know what their status was on their army. I don't really know.
Yeah, they're probably pretty worn out at that point.
Yeah, that's the thing. And, you know, that English Channel at the time was still pretty, you know, I mean, now it's probably not a big deal at all. But, you know, back then, I mean, even during World War II, that crossing that channel was still a big obstacle. And they were lucky they had that. Otherwise, England would have been fucked.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, they were already getting bombed the piss out of them, you know, even though Germans couldn't get infantry out there. Actually, you know, since we're talking about World War II, there was this battle, and I forgot how I found this out, but there apparently was a battle in Alaska.
Yeah, the Aleutian Islands?
Yeah. I never heard of that. And
yeah.
One of my buddy's little brothers brought it up to me, and